Houston's original neighborhood downtown is for everyone. It's our open-hearted home for our biggest celebrations and our treasured hidden gems. Come explore downtown with some amazing free events through Downtown Houston Plus, like the Market Square Park Farmers Market that happens every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the city's original open-air marketplace on 301 Milam Street. Learn more at downtownhouston.org. Downtown Houston, get energized and revived.
Hi, CityCast listener. Can you imagine a Houston neighborhood inside the loop that is A, walkable, and B, affordable? Today, I am talking with two guys who aim to create something that radical. Jeffrey Kaplan and Monty Large are principals with the real estate firm Concept Neighborhood. Over the next 10 years, they aim to transform a 17-acre swath just east of downtown, creating a fizzy, vibrant place called the Plant Second Ward. It is Monday, December 5th, 2022. I'm Lisa Gray, and this is CityCast Houston. Monty, Jeff, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Let's start with you, Monty. Paint me a picture. What is the Plant Second Ward? Where is it going to be? What's it going to look like?
So I think we can tag team this a little bit, but there's a stop on the Green Metro Rail line called the Plant Second Ward. And really, this is a neighborhood that's being created within a neighborhood. So it's not a particular one site. It's kind of a series of sites that stretch from basically that stop on the Metro Rail line, which is about a mile east of downtown Houston, northward along Sampson and Robert Street, incorporating multiple parcels throughout the neighborhood, and eventually connect to the Buffalo Bayou to be the trails that are going to be developed along Buffalo Bayou and all the work that Buffalo Bayou Partnership is doing on Buffalo Bayou. Mm-hmm. So it's about 17 acres, and Jeff can kind of take it from there.
What's the radical part? Yeah.
The vision is that this becomes the most walkable, inclusive neighborhood, you know, in town. And that's a big vision, but we also think
there's also not a lot of competition.
Yeah, we need more corridors like this. Like we want to create an authentic, walkable neighborhood, which we think is something the Houston region needs a lot more of. In a city as large as Houston, we deserve to have, you know, several neighborhoods where you can walk around and have a playful, spontaneous urban experience. We were with some advisor of ours who's an urban planner in town. And, you know, we were telling him that there's just, you know, explaining how there's just a scarcity of this sort of connected corridor. And he's like, we really only have like three or four blocks of authentic walkable urbanism. And, you know, those are the blocks where Mid-Main and the matches from like Main and Alabama, where Continental Club and Tacos A Go-Go goes mm-hmm. to like the match in terms of having a mixture of cool old buildings with new density that's, you know, connected on each block in a transit corridor.
Yeah. And so this would be that. But, you know, most of us can't afford to live in that lovely stretch of Mid-Main. And you guys are trying to keep it affordable for the people who already live in that part of Houston, right?
Yeah, well, the vision is that, you know, the housing that is built here is not just fancy Class A apartments. We really are, you know, programming a mixed bag of housing to really appeal to people from various income levels. And that's also a really important thing to have, you know, vibrant small businesses in the neighborhood, because we have done such a good job in our society of pushing affordable housing further and further away. So workers have to endure the cost of movement that they're not getting paid for. And when gas prices go up, that's a direct hit to them. So we really want to create a neighborhood where we have proximity between where people are working and where they're living. That means that we're doing, different types of housing, smaller scale multifamily. Some are at what you consider 80% average median income. Some might be at 60, and we will do some market rate.
What is 80% average income in Houston?
In Houston, that's like somebody who makes about $59,000 a year, a little over that. So that's you know, that's teachers, that's service industry workers. It's people that want to be close in, and often their jobs are close in.
Yeah. How do you keep a nice new neighborhood from being more expensive than that? Doesn't the market change all of that? Won't richer people want to move in and displace everyone?
It's such an important question. And I think there are so many lessons learned throughout the country and in our own city for what happens if you don't think about the future when you're planning. If you don't plan to have inclusive housing, it's very, you know, likely that there would be a much greater amount of displacement. But you can't stop gentrification. And I think it's important to say that, like, if we were not here, there would almost certainly be other developers doing work here. So what we're trying to do is think about displacement and think about how we can reduce the amount of displacement as the neighborhood evolves.
Mm-hmm. And how can you do that?
It's really about thinking about how we can work with the existing community and our neighbors. I've lived in this neighborhood for almost a decade. And it's not just a place where we're doing deals. In fact, our company is not really doing anything outside of this walkable corridor today. So it's about how we can create surprising partnerships that don't normally happen in the built environment. And that has to do with the businesses that go into these projects. It has to do with breaking title and having, you know, different sorts of partnerships with people that don't normally have a voice in commercial, you know, redevelopment projects. And often we'll help, you know, put teams together with merchants and entrepreneurs from the neighborhood, with, you know, with entrepreneurs and partners that have done other projects. So I think it's having new voices to represent that commercial experience. And I think from a housing standpoint, you know, it's about thinking about the future. You know, what is the value of all this park and green space work that's going to happen? What is that going to do? And, you know, you look at the High Line in New York City and what happened there. And there are many examples of how you can think about who is developing these projects. We're not going to develop all of this on our own. And most development companies would not. There will be, you know, co-investment, joint venture partnerships with other developers.
Okay. So you guys control about 17 acres.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Of this swath. Okay. But it's a much larger neighborhood that you were hoping to change.
We just needed to have enough in the neighborhood to spend the next 10 years of our life, you know, creating what we hope becomes a different template for neighbor development. But we don't own everything in this neighborhood, and we didn't think we should. We work for this investment group. It's sort of like an urban impact neighborhood investment fund. And you know, the idea was to have a multi-asset fund. So it's not just investing in retail or just in housing. It's really investing in the neighborhood and thinking about how we can uplift the entire neighborhood, as opposed to just, you know, one project.
You guys are for profit.
We are like a for profit community development investment company.
You mentioned, Lisa, that we hope to change the neighborhood. I think that's what we hope not to do too much of. So I think that it's a point of clarification. So this project being sort of interwoven within the community that exists there.
Mm-hmm. So currently it's largely a warehouse sort of district. The people who live there are mainly Latino.
Yeah. Yes. Today,
it's single family houses.
Yeah. Working class.
Sort of typical sort of inner suburb, Houston. You know, I live in the near north side, which is very similar, you know, warehouses next to houses, next to other warehouses, next to vacant lots. And then there's like these train lines that go through it. It was largely working class from the get go, where train lines, you know, delivered goods into downtown Houston and, in and out. I mean, today you go through the neighborhood, and it's very frustrating for a lot of people because there are so many trains that you get held up on, you know, from the north to the south. And so they crisscross through the neighborhood.
Yep.
This is not, you know, going in and displacing, you know, a bunch of residents. These are, you know, one of our largest site, you know, is this site that we intend to become a village, that's sort of at the intersection of where the bike trail hits this abandoned easement that we hope becomes this linear park tying to the bike trails. On that 8-acre site, there's no one living on that site today. It's current warehouse that has an office in it that we're keeping, and then there's an abandoned food factory that's just empty.
Houston's original neighborhood downtown is for everyone, and it's poppin'. It's our open-hearted home for our biggest celebrations and our treasured hidden gems. From the world-class theater district to incredible green spaces like Discovery Green, downtown is the place to be. In fact, more people visited downtown Houston last year than the entire population of Dallas, Fort Worth, Austin, and San Antonio combined. There's no better time to live downtown than now. From starter apartments to luxury lofts, everyone can take advantage of the arts, business, culture, entertainment, food, and recreation. Now, you might think of downtown as only the heartbeat of Houston's regional economy, which it is, but there's so much more to it, including free events throughout the week with Downtown Houston Plus. From the Market Square Park Farmers Market every Saturday to Yoga Flow every Wednesday, you can find something to do and eat and watch in downtown Houston. Learn more at downtownhouston.org. Downtown Houston, get energized and revived.
So you're going to be walkable, you're going to be preserving the history, and you're very actively like trying to keep it from becoming a luxury development. How are you going to make money?
Well, first,
the best question.
First of all, there's just a supply and demand misalignment in Houston. We have a scarcity of authentic walkable neighborhoods, and you know, people travel and go to great cities and have fun walking around, exploring neighborhoods, and going to cool old buildings, and they come back to Houston. And I think a lot of people, you know, have not realized that it's just a missing component to our built environment, and we're a young city. So I think we think that like once we have something like this, it's going to be valued because there's just, you know, there's not a neighborhood in Houston where you can walk around and feel the culture of this city that people like Steven Kleinberg tell us is the most multicultural diverse cities in the world. We don't have publicly driven neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And this is like Monty said, it's very different than a faux urban, you know, mixed use town center type of project. This is about authenticity. And we've torn so many buildings down. We just think that like there's a need for it.
So the demand is going to be so high for these non-luxury apartments that have courtyards instead of gyms and dog spas. The demand will be so high that you will make money. That's the bet.
Well, there's a need for, I mean, like you think about who lived in Montrose.
Oh, no, I can definitely see the need.
People can't afford to live in Montrose. Yeah. And that's, I've lived here for a long time now. And that's who's living here. It's creatives. It's service workers. It's teachers. Mm-hmm. It's people that, you know, were living in Montrose 5 or 10 years ago. And they can't, a new apartment is like $1,800 to $2,000 plus for, you know, a class A apartment. So we believe that by de-amenitizing and treating the retail as an amenity, like the public realm is the amenity and the retail is part of the public realm, by not having all those fancy things like a dog washing room and, you know, a spa and a co-working space, we want to build smaller projects like you would see in Mexico City or New Orleans with courtyards and manage them. We're clustering them through the corridor and managing them as, you know, as a neighborhood as opposed to one project. So much of what we're spending our time on is thinking about parking and parking codes and how to create this neighborhood for people that want to be able to rely on micromobility and live car free if they so choose.
All right. I want to close, Jeff, by getting you to tell me a story that I've heard once already about possibly sort of a larger impact that a development like this could have and why it is surprisingly possible here.
This made me feel really good about staying in Houston and getting to do this sort of work here. I was in San Francisco with my best friend, and my brother who lives there, and he owns this yoga studio in the Mission, and his close friend Manny has this super progressive bookstore where it's like an activist bookstore with a kitchen run by a supportive housing group that has a farm. It's called Manny's, and Manny like hosts everyone. And yeah, he's like a modern day Harvey Milk, and it's like a real activist bookstore. So he had Ezra Klein, who's a smart dude. He wrote, he was founder of Vox.
Oh, New York Times. I love that podcast.
Yeah, he's super smart. And he had just written a book about why America is so divided.
Oh, yeah.
And he gave a talk. This is like February, like 25th, like right before the lockdown, the pandemic hit.
Before COVID, 2020. Yeah.
And you know, things were like, that was right when I first saw people wearing masks. It was the last event I went to. So he's giving a talk at Manny's about why America is so divided, presenting his book. And at the end of his talk, somebody raised, he said that the key to reducing division in America is upzoning. And somebody raised their hand and they were like, what is upzoning? And Ezra Klein said, well, basically Houston, Texas is a model to look at, a city to look at for a city that can figure out how to create inclusive neighborhoods first, because Houston has no zoning. So they don't have to change these antiquated zoning laws, which keep rich and poor people from living together, which is key to having, you know, community wealth and equitable neighborhoods. Like they just have to figure out how to fix their parking codes. So Houston can like lead in some ways. Like we are this diverse city, and we're just lacking publicly driven neighborhoods. And we think that, you know, this can be a different sort of template for, you know, a culturally inclusive neighborhood that looks like our city. And that is our vision.
Man, I hope you guys pull this off.
So do we. Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa.
Bye, Lisa. Bye.
That was Jeffrey Kaplan and Monty Large of the development firm Concept Neighborhood. Now, I am here with producer AK Al Moman. AK, what is going on around Houston today?
Hey, Lisa. During the pandemic, a lot of home businesses opened up, and one of them is Milk Mustache, a cookie factory started by mother of four, Tracy Jones, that has found incredible success in their preservative-free giant 6-ounce cookies. Her next step, though, is a brick-and-mortar store located on 1864 Fountain View Road. And the grand opening is today on December 2nd. They will be offering some of their most popular varieties in the 900-square-foot store, such as red velvet cream cheese, Nutella-stuffed sprinkled cookie, and the goat of all cookies, white chocolate macadamia. I mean, my mouth is watering just thinking about it. So if you're just like me and got a massive sweet tooth, the store will open its doors at 10 a.m., Monday through Saturday.
That's it for our show today. If you liked what you heard, why don't you tell a friend who likes walkable neighborhoods? Get them to listen to this podcast. We would really appreciate it. Talk to you tomorrow. Now, I am here with developer AK Al Moman. Hey. You like walkable neighborhoods, right?